Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
I started talking earlier when we were watching just really about getting out the word and proclaiming the gospel. And it doesn't necessarily need to be something that you're standing on the corner yelling or so on. But when I was younger, I was, well, I'll get into this here and let everybody know how I feel about street preaching. But I don't know how many people have encountered people on the street proclaiming the gospel or not, or what your opinion was it. But from my experience, most Christians and most people in general are very disturbed by seeing people on the street preaching. And this is a problem. So we're going to be talking about that today and talk about why it's our duty as believers to go out there and let the people know. When I pull out of my little community where I live in South Florida, I see people on the street with big signs, a whole bunch of teenagers and everybody. Car wash, pull in here. Big sign, car wash, pull in here. And then I go and I see people, you know, with signs, homeless, need money, need food. I even see people with signs saying, does anyone can buy me a beer? There's nothing people are embarrassed to hold up a sign to say. You know, and I am not going to be satisfied. I am not going to stop teaching this message that I'm giving out until I see people with signs saying, Yeshua died for you. Repent. And why not? And why not? And I'll tell you why not, and that's what we're going to talk about here today, why it's not happening and why it needs to happen. And I can tell you, as a believer, there's nothing you could do that connect you more in relationship of a feeling, of a literal physical feeling, that you just did something to humble yourself for Yahweh. It is the most humbling experience you could do, is to stand in amongst a group of strangers, and share the gospel with them and share your testimony with them. And that's what I tell everybody, just share your testimonial, you know, and call it open air preaching or street preaching or just going out there preaching. You know, like I said, if you're on an airplane, that's the best place to go. Somebody's sitting next to you, they got nowhere to go. You know, I remember a story I once heard of a fellow. He was on a plane and he was reading the Bible, and the lady next to him said to him, how do you know that's real? He said, what? And she said, the Bible. How do you know that's real? And he didn't know what to say, you know. So first he was, he started pointing to some scriptures. And then she stopped him. She said, no. I don't want to hear from the scriptures. I want to hear from you. I don't want you pointing to the scriptures. How do you know that's real? He didn't know what to say. He said, can you excuse me for a second? I got to go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom, and he comes back from the bathroom. And well, in the bathroom, he prayed, Yah, what should I tell her? And Yahweh told him, just tell her your testimonial. And he came back and he shared his testimonial. Listen, so many people are scared to go out on the street or to share with a stranger scriptures because they think maybe there's not something they know or somebody's going to know more than them. But you know, and you have a dear testimonial of how Yahweh has come into your life and changed your life. And I'm encouraging you to share that with many people as possible, as often as possible. And to make sure when you go to sleep every night, when you wake up every day, it's on your checklist to tell at least one person that Yeshua died for them. Any way and anyhow you have to say it. You could do it online if you have a Facebook page. Go out there and just type a sentence, one sentence on Twitter or something. Go out there and just, even if you're walking with a Bible in your hand, instead of a magazine or something somebody's going to see, get a shirt that says something. You know, my friend just has a website, yeshuashirts.com. Just have a shirt that says something, a message about the gospel. Have a hat. Have something. You know, but, you know, just the way you act, the way you look is speaking the gospel to people. It should be. Set apart means set apart. If you look so much like them, if you act so much like them, they're not going to know. When I hear a lecture or I meet somebody, the worst question I get is somebody say, was that person a Christian? If I have to ask if they were a Christian, they're most likely not. Same thing. You know, people need to know. And you should think the same thing about you. If somebody has to ask, is that person a believer in Yeshua? You missed the boat. You did something wrong. So you need to find out what people aren't going to ask. They're going to know. So I figured if I look like Moses, I don't got to say a word. You know, so, but it's all right. So, I didn't like street preaching growing up, so I could understand people that don't find it the best way to get the gospel across. I was very adamant against it. I grew up in New York City, and I used to see people all the time street preaching. And I would see people on the subways in New York. There's one guy particularly, I remembered him. To this day, I can remember his voice and his face and remember him preaching on the subway. He's got me in a subway car. That's going to be my greatest thing when I go back to New York to preach on a subway car in New York. He was preaching, and everyone, you know, didn't want to hear and was turning away and everything else, including me. One day I was online at the bank, and he was in front of me. I was like, there's that crazy guy. And he went to the teller in front of me, and then he left, and the teller, I said to the teller, I saw that guy in the bank. That guy's crazy. She said, you know, that guy's like a millionaire. That guy's a lot of money and everything else. And what he chooses to do with his time. I'd say he's richer than the bank, than the money he had in the bank. So I was like, wow, but I still didn't like it. But then I found out, one day I was sitting in New York City in Union Square, and I was sitting there and a whole bunch of people gathered, and I saw this young street preacher, and he was there preaching and just had the Bible, was reading the word, and there was people trying to come up from him from all different sides. They were just coming at him, yelling, screaming, trying to distract him and everything else. And I remember there's this one guy that was dressed like a woman and was yelling at him and screaming at him. And I was just watching this to see what would happen. And it wasn't Bruce Jenner, but it was a guy dressed like a woman and yelling at him and screaming at him. And this guy was calmly reading scripture to the guy. The guy wouldn't leave. The guy was just yelling and screaming for a half hour. And I was thinking to myself, that's when it's hit me. You know, the lukewarm person is a whole other story, but the demons cannot leave the presence of the scripture. This guy was trying to run away, but he ended up hearing the gospel for a whole half hour. And I was like, wow, it's amazing. Why couldn't this guy just walk away? But instead he was there listening to scripture. We know how powerful scripture is. What happened when Yeshua was tempted by Satan? What did he do? He just quoted scripture. And I saw this transaction. And I was like, wow, it just changed everything for me that day. And I recall the time where I was street evangelizing one time, and this guy came up to me and he said he was a Mormon, and I mean, he was drunk. He was a drunk Mormon. I have it on video, and me and him were going at it, talking about scripture and stuff, but I was just thinking about it. And then later on that night, I went home and I watched the video, and I heard in the background of the video, you know, I've been listening to this guy for 2 hours and I'm going to say something. I've been listening to this guy for 2 hours. I'm going to say something. Praise Yahweh, a Mormon got to hear the scripture for 2 hours. You know, it's something about it. So we're going to talk about this because, you know, it's something that not all of us might be called to do, you know, but we are all called to proclaim the gospel one way or another. That's what we're called. That's what we have to do. That's what we're commanded to do in scripture. You're not keeping Torah if you think you are, if you're not going out there and sharing the gospel with other people. That's like the ultimate of what we're to do. That's so one way or another, we have to do this. So, Yahweh wants us to share the good news with everyone. Jesus told his disciples to go out and tell the whole world what he has done for us. That's it. That's the whole beginning of making disciples. That's it. And that's what he told them. And there's so many scriptures that talk about this. And one of my favorites is Mark 16:15. Mark 16:15 says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go in the world to preach the gospel to every creature. You know, so I'm in New York here, and I'm going to Florida, and I'm going everywhere, and I'm preaching to every creature. I mean, I'm sitting somewhere reading my Bible, and it's all quiet. All of a sudden, a bug comes by me. I'm preaching to the bug. Yeah. But we got to go. We got to get this message out everywhere, however we can get it out. And it's one thing, as I was saying earlier, to go into a church and give a message. But it's a whole other thing when you're going on the street and speaking to the lost people. It's a whole new ballpark. It's a whole new world. And it's so exciting, you know, it's but in today's world, it seems so odd that somebody would even think about doing that. The good news should be proclaimed everywhere, but why does it seem so odd? Why does it seem so crazy in today's world for us to want to go out there and preach? Even now, if we're on from the airport, even though nobody's at this airport, what would stop us from going out there and doing that? Why? And there's several reasons why. Number one is the enemy is against it. The enemy is against it. 2 Corinthians 4:4 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Yeshua, who is the exact likeness of our wonderful Creator. The enemy does not like that people are going out proclaiming the gospel. And this is one reason why it seems so weird and so odd in this world. The other reason is the world is against it. The world as a whole is against us. Mark 13:13 says, everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Everyone will hate you because of me. So we've got the enemy against the world against it. We even got the church against it. The church today is telling everybody to keep your faith as personal and private as possible, and the word repent has become a curse word in the church today. They don't want anyone to get offended by saying the word repent when the scriptures, that's one of the most important words of all scripture, is repent. And the church is saying not to tell that to anyone. 2 Corinthians 11:14, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Yeshua than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. The church is against preaching the word. How wrong is that? How bad is that? And how has it affected us today? It affected us so much today that we grow up in a society that's so against it. You know, we can go up to a stranger on the street and ask them for directions somewhere, but we have a fear of telling them Yeshua died for them. It's not the way it should be. It's not the way it should be. Psalms 94:16 says, who will rise up for me against evildoers, who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity. Who will stand up? Now, when you go into a whole church and you're asking people, how many people you told Yeshua died for them, and nobody outside that doors of that building will say a word. That's not what it's about. It's never supposed to be contained to a building or to a room. So we are called to preach and preach it and preach it loud. To preach means to raise the voice loud. That's what it means. Proverbs 1:20-21 says, wisdom shouts in the streets. She lifts her voice up in the square, and at the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. If you are on a corner, and somebody pulled up to you, and as I said it last night, pulled out a gun and was about to shoot you, and somebody jumped in the way of that bullet and sped away, I promise you, for the rest of your life, you would be talking about that stranger that spared your life, that saved your life. You'd be on the news talking about it. You'd be thanking everybody. You would never, ever stop talking about it. You have no problem telling anybody what just happened. I was standing on a street corner, and a car pulled up. A guy came out with a gun and held it to my head, and the finger was about to pull the trigger, and some stranger just jumped in the way of the bullet and took that bullet for me. You would never stop thinking about that. Every second of your life, you'd be thinking about that. How close you came to death, and how you were saved. We were all in death row. We all deserved death. We even deserved it. And then we have Yeshua come and save us. And we can't tell people about him. We get embarrassed to tell people about him. That's just wrong. So we need to find a way to let people know. Let people know the truth. Luke 14:23. And to the master said to the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges and compel the people to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, some people say, well, it just doesn't work. That's not the best way to proclaim the good news or get the gospel out there. Absolutely, it does work. I remember one of my favorite preachers online. It's, if you go online and you look at Team Jesus Preachers, that's his YouTube channel. His name's Adam. And, you know, somebody came up to him once and said, how do you know this works? Prove to me this works. And he gave the best answer anyone can give. He says, I know this works. They said, how? He goes, because that's how I got saved. Even within my own salvation story of myself, after I spoke to Baruch, my next trip was to Canada. And I was up in Canada, and I only had a cheap cell phone at the time that wasn't working up there. So I went to a payphone, and I made my call, and on top of the payphone was a pamphlet that said, the Jewish people, the chosen people. I looked at it and put it in my pocket, didn't think too much about it. Until the next day, I had to make another call at a different part of town. And I got on this payphone. They had those out back then. And I got on the payphone. And right on the top of the payphone was the same exact pamphlet. Not the one that was in my pocket, but another one of it. So I sat down and I read that. That street evangelism right there, just leaving a track somewhere. Getting the word out. It works. I know it works. Great story about a fellow who was coming up from work one day, and he heard a street preacher. And the street preacher was there just telling everybody, you know, if you don't know what to say, if you don't know how to be saved, just go home, kneel down, and just pray to God that he shows you the way. And he shows you who he is. So this fellow hears that message. Street preacher didn't even know who he was. The fellow goes home and does that and gets saved. And the fellow went on to write a couple of books. The fellow's name was A.W. Tozer. It works. It works. We don't know who is touching or who is not touching. We don't know what other people are going through or not going through, but we do know it works. Why does it work? How do we know it works? Because it presents the gospel to people that would never, ever ordinarily have the opportunity to hear these scriptures, these words, this idea. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. You want to make sure every single person you know knows your story. And for me personally, I want to make sure every person I know has heard that Yeshua died for them. I have failed if they don't know that. Whether they call me a freak or they run away from me or they say I talk about that too much. As long as they've heard that from me and they know what I do and what I stand for. They might not like to hear the truth, but you know, 1 Chronicles 16:23 says, and I love this one. It says, sing to Yahweh, all the earth, proclaim the news from day to day of his salvation, of Yeshua. How beautiful is that? Then why don't we do it, if it's so beautiful? We need to get out there and do it. And, you know, and there's ways to do it. There's different styles to do it. But just go out there and do it. Get the word out some way or somehow. For me, I don't even, when I'm going out there, you know, I'm not even talking about a one-on-one conversation. I'm just saying this, and I have a team with me, and a team goes out there, and they're talking to people one-on-one. And speaking to people one-on-one. Some people have a table with water. Somebody gets the water. You know, you say, are you thirsty? You want this, right? Well, let me tell you about Yeshua first. Don't just give it to them and say, have a nice day. No, tell them Yeshua died for them. And since you're saved, you're able to be there to give them that water. And if they say, you know, whatever you have to tell them, something they'll remember. They come up to you and say, oh, I'm hot and thirsty. If you're hot and thirsty now, if you don't accept Yeshua, wait till later. but we have to find a way to get it. You know, and another thing here too is when I hear people talking about tithing, you know, they make it the mainstay of this ministry because every single message they give, they have to say something about tithing first. If we just said something about Yeshua dying for us first in every single message, this would just be so different. So different. You know, so, you know, and what would Yeshua do? You know, all these stickers that are out there and everything else. He would do exactly what he did. He'd go out there and street evangelize and street preach and open air preach. You know, but, you know, exactly what he did. He didn't have to cast out demons in front of big crowds. He could have did it in private. He could have pulled them on the side, or he could have went there when big crowd, but he did it in big crowds, proclaiming the news, letting people see it. You know, every sermon in Scripture, you know, every great sermon in Scripture was somebody open air preaching. Why are we not following the model? What has happened? The Old and the New Testament are filled with street preaching and open air preaching. What is keeping us from doing the same? We are beginning with Noah, who was a preacher of righteousness. You know, Ezra, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. What is stopping us? Well, we're embarrassed. We don't know how people are going to take it. You know, Jonah, John the Baptist, Yeshua himself, Paul and Peter. Then more than any other book, the person that preached more than anyone else, Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah 2:1-2 says, Yahweh gave me another message. He said, go and shout this message to Jerusalem. To go and shout this message to Jerusalem. You know, and then Jeremiah 11:6, Yahweh said to him, broadcast this message in the streets of Jerusalem. Go from town to town throughout the land and say, Remember the ancient covenant and do everything it requires. Hallelujah. It's great to remind people. You know, and I finally got a chance to preach enough in the street. I finally got a chance on Easter to preach in front of some churches. You know, to let them know the truth about Easter. You know, and everyone had something smart to say or run by and say nothing. And even the police couldn't stop me from being there. At least there's a couple of them. But then finally, when they got rid of me out of one of them, so we went out there with our signs and we have it on video and everything else. You know, I think, what was the sign we have? The Easter Bunny didn't die for your sins, I think. but all this, but you know what? It was, I didn't know if anyone was supposed to have fun, but I was having fun. My friends were having fun, but you know what? We accomplished our goal. There was a fellow that ended up in our fellowship from that day of street preaching. You know, that's what it's about. It's not about 10 people standing in front of me, saying the sinner's prayer. No. You know, it's about, you know, people thinking about it, handing out a tract to somebody. They're going home with the word in their pocket. Even if they're drunk, the next day they're going to pull it out of their pocket. Something like that. You know, and this is what we need to be doing. So Jeremiah's ministry was right at the gate where all the people met in Jerusalem. And that's where he was told to be. You know, go and stand in the gates of Jerusalem. First, the gate where the king goes in and out. And then each of the other gates, Jeremiah 17:19. Right at the gate of the city. I see sometimes people street preaching on YouTube. And I look around and no one's there. And they must really be preaching to the creatures. You know, go where the people are and shout the word. Get the word out. You know, and the word shout in general is misunderstood. You know, the first time I went out, I was shouting. And, you know, not only did I look crazy, I sounded crazy. But then I learned a little, I got a little wise, and then I got myself a little microphone, and then I got myself a big microphone, and I didn't have to shout. I was just talking. And then people get upset. Why do you need that microphone? You know, I'd be right next to a big stage with people singing on stage. I said, how come you don't exempt that on stage? Why do you need that microphone? I said, well, you don't have to use that microphone. Look, come next to me in front of the library, and we'll preach there, and I don't need a microphone. If I'm at a big event, you need a microphone. So preaching, testifying, teaching, and witnessing. You know, they're going to all be used in street ministry, but they're not all the same. And witnessing is how you interact with sinners on a daily basis. That's witnessing. Okay? Showing kindness and love to those who don't know him. You're being a witness. Testifying. Testifying is to acknowledge openly what Yeshua has done for you. Hallelujah. Teaching, giving the word to those who are saved and are being edified and matured by it. And then preaching, what is done for the benefit of the lost whom we are attempting to reach with the gospel. So it can all be part of this, but that breaking it down, that's what we have. And, you know, the preaching part of it is a specific function that Yahweh uses to warn sinners of his impending judgment and its results, and to offer the gift of salvation through repentance and belief in the repentive works of Yeshua and his blood. We're telling people, it's not just for them, it's for us also. We need to realize that and understand that. The most popular method of preaching today is the type popularized by Billy Graham. And basically it says, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That kind of preaching. There's a problem with that. There's no talk of repentance. There's no mentioning of repentance, which we're called to do. Repentance, my favorite line preaching is repentance brings refreshing. Acts 3:19. But the church today teaches it's a curse word. Don't tell anyone, don't mention that word repent. But the Bible says we need to mention repent before we even mention about Yeshua. Repent and accept Yeshua. Not accept Yeshua and repent. We need to understand, repent to turn from our evil ways, to turn from our sins, not to desire to do the things of this world. To tell people what sin is, to explain to them they need to repent, and explain what repentance means, and let people know that. John the Baptist said, if you wish to be baptized in him, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then added, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, Matthew 3:2. So we need repent. Everyone say repent. Matthew 3:2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent was first mentioned, the first message of Yeshua that he preached. He was about repenting. Repent was first preached on the day of Pentecost, and it consisted within the book of Acts. It's a tremendously important thing that is left out over and over again. So the heart to street preach, and the heart to just go out there and evangelize. You know, and I tell people all the time, when is the last time you told a stranger about the gospel? Think about it yourselves here. Think about it if you're watching online. When is the last time you told a stranger about Yeshua? That says a lot. And I remember I go out with people all the time and I do an event like this and then let's go street preaching afterwards. And people are, I'm not going to say anything. I go, you don't have to say a word. Just hold the camera. Just hold the tracks that we're going to hand out, the too many tracks or something. You know, just trip the police when they chase us. You know, nothing. They don't have to get involved too bad or something. But they go out there and then they get something in them. Start up. Can I say something? And they take the microphone. And they can't stop talking. And they email me the next day. I've been a believer 20, 30 years. And I've never felt the way I felt out there. Telling people publicly about Yeshua. Strangers. Doing exactly what the prophets did. You know, edifying and building their walk as well. So, you know, it's all throughout history. It's what people did. All throughout history. But today, we have stopped it, you know. And every of the disciples of Yeshua, every single one of them died for street evangelizing, except John. Every single one of them. And even Timothy. I remember opening up the book of, Fox's Books of Martyrs. And they're talking right there about Timothy, you know, street preaching and getting beat up right there for street preaching and killed. You know, it's just such a great history of this and history about how many people have done this and who has done this. And we have the opportunity to join the names of these people. In the 1600s, there was a fame named John Bunyan. He wrote a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. Street preacher. He began engaging in street preaching. And he was arrested and jailed a number of times for preaching without a license. Just the historical context of this should just say, I want to be in their company, and I have an opportunity to do so. In the mid-1700s, George Whitfield, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, all street preachers.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This grant is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. Monday, March 16th at 7 a.m., the sun will rise on our spring prayer and share. Only twice a year do we come to you to raise funds for this broadcast ministry, and it is crucial in these days where the gospel and those who share it are under great attack. Faith is an active verb, and we are decidedly active in broadcasting His truth. This is a benchmark of our ministry. We fight the enemy with God's word. Will you join us yet again, or perhaps for the first time, in this holy endeavor? You can reach us at 772-221-1100 for more information or to donate early.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
Jesus loves me. The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views